You might have thought it would never happen, but Switchcast is endorsing a transport company. Whether you're moving a rare collectible, a high-end sports car, or your personal luxury vehicle, Shaughnessy Overland Express delivers with precision, privacy, and respect. This isn't just transport, it's white glove care from pickup to delivery. For over 14 years, they've earned the trust of collectors, enthusiasts, dealers, and owners by offering unmatched service and personalized attention. You'll work directly with their experienced in-house team, ensuring a smooth and private experience without middlemen or surprises. Every shipment is protected with up to $3 million in cargo insurance, offering peace of mind for even the most valuable and rare vehicles on the road. In addition to their enclosed fleet, they've also established a trusted auto transport brokerage service, giving you access to a nationwide network of vetted open and enclosed carriers. Whether you need transport on a route they don't currently operate or their carriers are at full capacity when your schedule demands, they'll still get it done without compromising the Shaughnessy standard of excellence. Same professionalism, same personal touch, expanded flexibility. We are proud at Switchcast to endorse Shaughnessy Overland Express as the official transporter of Switchcast. Visit soexinc.com and tell them Switchcast sent you. I'm surprised Donald Trump has not, when talking about his tariffs, said, they're terrific. Get it? Tariff? Terrific?
No. I do get it, Doug. That was right away. I'm trying to decide if that is too highbrow or too lowbrow for him. I don't know which one it is.
If it was Bush, he'd just say it accidentally.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Switchcast Season 6. I'm your host, Doug Tabbitt, here with my co-host, Tyler Sanders, and we're the, what are we? The show where we don't talk politics, we talk cars, but we still make political jokes if we can. Switchcast is a podcast where we know what we're talking about despite evidence to the contrary. And when we mess up, we have our wonderful executive producer, Ethan Huffnagel, to fix it in post. Except for those of you who pay extra to be on Patreon, and you get to hear all the things that should get us canceled, but don't. Because it's our show.
Darn right.
If you do enjoy this podcast, and you're not yet on Patreon, check it out. I think it will be worth your extra money. Patreon.com/switchcast, you get access to not only watch the show live when we're filming it, but you also get exclusive bonus content. For instance, this week, our discussion topic is cars that make you look like a jerk, even if you aren't one.
Nice.
As low as $2 a month, guys.
Yes. Yes. Join the Patreon community. Let's see, free ways you can support us or other valuable ways. One, support our sponsors, excellent, high quality and low cost Sheffield All Sport watches. Awesome, awesome brand, they're not all sports, but Sheffield watches, Shaughnessy Overland Express. Everybody's shipping their cars down south right now. All the snowbirds, you need good, reliable transportation. Look up Shaughnessy Overland Express, soexinc.com. Nuts for Sticks, if you want some merch, or a GT Vault 1-of-1 certificate for your Porsche. Solenspine.com, if you're broken and need fixed, at least in your, physically in your back region, but they're not therapists or car mechanics or anything else. But
yeah, that's all right. Brain, get you a brain mechanic, back mechanic.
Yeah. Yeah. Switch cars, of course. With that said, yes, freeways. Help us out with the algorithms. Like, share, subscribe, leave a comment, leave a 5-star review. Tyler, what is fueling this podcast?
Our technical advisor, Dan Doucette, has brought in a delicious looking Four Roses single barrel that is, what is math? Like 114 proof, 11 years old.
Small pours of that. Yes, I've had a single barrel here before, and it was excellent. So this is a different single. Well, it could be from the same barrel. Nope, it's from a different barrel. So we'll see, because a previous Four Roses single barrel I had was one of my favorites of all time.
That one was a low proof one, which is delicious. I love low proof single barrels.
So I probably won't like this one as much.
This is a little, it's the lower end of the spectrum. For
I wish you didn't tell me the proof though. I have this odd, strange talent of being able to just like guess the proof of any whiskey and be right.
Gosh, I'm so, I ruined it, soiled it.
Sound effects here. okay, some quick hitter news stories here. To catch us up, we talked about the subprime automotive market being in a real hurt a couple weeks ago. Another subprime lender, PrimaLend, files Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They are a buy here, pay here indirect lender and a dealer floor plan lender, which means they finance dealers' inventory.
With a name like that, Doug, how could they?
They really should be called subprime-a-lend now. Some low-hanging fruit there. Real low-hanging fruit.
That's right. Still good.
anyway, so that market is continuing to see some really big struggles. Texas and Oklahoma are conducting a major crackdown operation on non-legal questionable CDL truck drivers. We've talked about this a lot. Oklahoma's crackdown is called Operation Guardian.
And that's all they could come up with? It's kind of lame.
I don't know. People are making this political, and it's not political. The stats are out there. Truckers need to be trained properly, and they need to be able to speak English and understand English and read English road signs. And,
you know, honestly, being a...
this is a safety thing.
1,000%. Being a truck driver is a lot more... there's a lot more involved in it than maybe I originally thought, so I imagine the general population thinks this way. But I've got... someone in my extended family is a truck driver, and they were explaining to me kind of... the different routes you can take to get around Cleveland. And it's actually really restrictive where you can take a semi truck and where you cannot. And it's, if you can't read the signs, you're going to end up in a place you can't be, where there's a low bridge that you can't fit under. And it's like all of this stuff that's purely just navigating around where you can go.
Oh, and we're going to talk about that later on.
I wasn't even planned.
We've got a crash video.
Nice.
Anyway, but the apprehensions included one trucker who was given a non-domicile CDL. Guess what state? Not California. New York. On his license, the listed name was no name given.
That's a really was it like hyphenated? That's a really weird name. strange. Hi, it's no name given.
So the state police and ICE were all involved in this crackdown. I think a couple hundred drivers. It was like 120 at the time of publishing this article. 126, I think, that they were deporting.
Oh, okay.
Because they weren't even here legally, and they had just gotten a non-domicile CDL. So I will say this, and this is as political as we're going to go. When I first saw the headlines about people like blocking ICE vehicles and protesting against ICE vehicles in California, like the first three news headlines I saw, I'm like, wow, they really are taking this like pro EV thing to a new level.
Oh,
because I just wasn't paying attention to what was going on in the political landscape that closely. And when I see ICE, I think internal combustion engines. So it's just like EV, ICE, EV, ICE. So I'm like, why are these EV people so uptight? Is it like the diesel boys, the roll coal people? Yeah. Like they're really ticked about that. But,
you know, that's some innocence, I think, that the world could use a little more of. Doug is less online than maybe you think he is. He's online on Bring a Trailer. That's
yes, indeed. I'm going to throw something at our producer so he knows that the main segment is coming up. We're real high tech here. speaking of warm-up laps, this weekend I'm going to drive Pit Race, formerly Beaver Run, which is going future formerly Pit Race. Turning into a data center.
What you driving?
Warm up laps. Taking a 911.
Nice.
The funny thing is, on the like the waiver thing in the instructions, they said if you go off the track and you damage any of their property, you're liable for repairs. And I kind of want to be like, but are we? They're going to turn it into a data center.
Yeah, they're going to bulldoze the whole thing. That sucks. Oh. Well, at least you get to go one more time. I drove that a long time ago with Extreme Experience, and it was a super fun track that I've just never managed to make it back to. The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jake Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield all-sport diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one on July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield well of clever and unique design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield watches, value on merit, not just price. I love mine, so get yours at sheffieldwatches.com and be sure to mention you found them on Switchcast.
There's 1,000 auctions a week, more than that, on Bring a Trailer now, plus Cars and Bids and P Car Market, and then the RM Sotheby's and SOMO and auctions among auctions. And most of them go fairly normally, but every now and then one is such an epic fail that we have to highlight it. And I happen to notice this one because I keep track of Metzger engined GT cars for my database, GT Vault. And this one went more sideways than somebody in a first gen Viper on original tires who lifted off the throttle.
And I think this is the, surprisingly, as we'll come to find out, the most sideways this car's ever gone.
Well, I don't know
impressive
about that.
Given
the wreck. So the 2007 911 GT3 RS was on Bring a Trailer. Very highly sought after car, 415 of them for the U.S. in white color. So that's one of the rarer colors.
Excuse me, Doug. It's Carrara white.
They actually spelled it wrong
on
the auction. They
spelled
it Carrara white.
It's Carrara white.
Ceramic brakes. The only issue is that it has a rebuilt title for a wreck.
Yep, yep.
And we talk about often whether or not rebuilt title cars are worth buying. And of course, when you put one on a public auction, you expose yourself to a lot of comments, a lot of questions, and you better be prepared.
Yeah, you better have your ducks in a row, your story ready to rock. Did you see, Doug, the photos from the wreck?
I did. They were, interestingly enough, they were not posted on the auction. And when somebody asked for the photos, the seller said that their office had burned down.
Hold on.
And so they lost all the files for the photos.
That's a real, like, dog ate my homework kind of excuse.
Oh, hold on. We'll get to the dog, too.
There's a dog?
There is a dog involved. Right. So they couldn't post the photos, but lo and behold, if you go on a supplemental vehicle history report website like Epic VIN, which you can do using our affiliate link in the video description, they had the photos of the wreck. So something you don't get from Carfax. And like anybody could have gotten them. And then thankfully somebody also posted them to Renless. So they were readily available on the internet, but the seller is making an excuse that their office burned down. That's why they don't have the files in a digital world. Same excuse for why they didn't have the service records of the repair, but they knew who had done it. They were bragging that True Speed Motor Cars had performed the repair. So it's like, okay, we'll call them and get the receipts.
Yeah, I'm sure they still, because it wasn't that long ago, I'm sure they still have them or some record of them somewhere.
Exactly. This is Bring a Trailer, people. That you can't get around the peanut gallery. Even if everybody in the peanut gallery is not going to bid, which often happens. Like you got to answer the questions. The damage photos were not that bad in my estimation. It was the front right corner. There seemed to be no damage to the A or C pillar. The glass was still intact, which when I had an accident at, I don't know, like 40-ish miles an hour, I hit something right front corner. The glass shattered. The A pillar was creased. I think the C pillar had a little crinkle in it. And it's like, this car has to be total. But this one, like everything outside of the right front corner was fine. So it was like subframe, maybe front tub, suspension pieces, you know, hubs, whatever. Probably not that big of a deal.
Weren't there multiple accidents, though?
No, somebody was, I don't think so. I think it was because it shows a total loss in terms of, it shows the Carfax report, the police report on Carfax for the accident, then the total loss for the insurance claim, then the salvage title, when the title becomes salvage, then the rebuilt title issue. That's all one process.
I must have misread it then. I thought there was something, some other incident in there, but so wait, so if there's a police report, that means this didn't happen on track.
Or somebody... It did happen on track, and then they moved it to a ditch nearby, your friendly local insured ditch.
Ah, which people we love tend an to insured do. Ditch.
I won't throw anybody under the bus, but people have told me they were doing those things. I'm just like, okay. Right.
The driver's airbag did pop.
And the passenger airbag.
Oh, it did. Yep, yep.
Yes. So the photos were okay, not great, but the seller's responses or lack thereof to people's valid questions in this instance really hammered them. Yes, to use a little auction pun. One of the best comments, I think, of all time was in this auction. So people brought up the fact that not only was the front brake rotor had like a huge chunk out of it, which is a ceramic rotor, very expensive. Yes.
And I think if you have a chunk out, you don't really want to drive it, right? Like that's damaged enough that you don't want to use it, or is that
this
okay?
Chunk was pretty big.
Okay.
A tiny chunk, probably not a big deal, but there was a number of lug nuts that were rusty. On one wheel, there was 3 out of 5. On another wheel, there was 1. And another wheel, there was 2.
And like really rusty.
And people were like, hey, so what's with that? And the seller said, oh, well, I was in the hospital for a long time and somebody was watching my German Shepherd and he peed on the wheels. And that's why the lug nuts are rusty.
Yeah, he just really went and peed on like all 4 wheels of the car.
Well, 3.
Oh, yeah, 3. One of them's clean. Clean as a whistle.
Yes. And he only hit 3 lug nuts on the one wheel.
He's not very accurate, Doug. He's really just there for the business.
So then he didn't answer questions because he had a death in the family, which if it's true, that is awful. But there's just a lot of mishaps happening at a time when maybe you shouldn't be auctioning the car.
Yeah, there's just lots going on, and some of that you can't really predict, I guess, but this was really an inopportune time. And the seller did not leave that many comments.
No.
For a car of this caliber, you would expect some engagement. Mm-hmm. I did appreciate, though, one thing that made me chuckle. So the shout out to the gray man on Bring a Trailer. First comment, I can fix her on the listing, which I loved. A comment a few days after that, this person was really just going down the rabbit hole on this, and I loved the journey of their comments. They said, is a second license plate screw included with the sale? And I didn't notice, there's only one plate screw in the rear. I'm like, you're auctioning this car, and you can only afford one screw in the plate?
Well, he couldn't even clean it because there was a bunch of dog hair in the back that somebody pointed out. And he said, yeah, that's for my shepherd. It's like, okay, you can answer where the dog hair came from, but you can't answer, like, where the car was repaired. It was just circled around everything and excuses for everything. There was a great summary by one of the commenters said, the office with the accident pictures burned down. You had an explosion accident. Your shepherds peed on your lug nuts and a family member passed away. I hope getting rid of this thing gets you better luck in life.
That's so good.
This is one of the strangest auction sequences in terms of comments that I've seen in a long time.
And it also looked like there's like mold that was on the driver's seat at one point, and it wasn't cleaned very well. Where's that photo?
Oh. I think the car looked better in the post-accident photos than it did on the Bring a Trailer listing.
I also swear there's a different color white on one of these doors.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's like on a couple of photos, it just looks a little strange to me.
But it is nowhere near as bad as the salvage title, rebuilt title 996 GT3 you tried to buy, the blue one that's still for sale. It had the ceramics on one side and the steel brakes on the other and was still visibly bent after it was repaired.
And somebody was like, I can't possibly afford GT3 bodywork. Let me, you know, shove Carrera stuff on this. It'll be like a touring.
Yep.
No, thank you.
Honestly, for after seeing the damage photos, I would take a flyer at this car. It went reserve not met to 130K, which is well short of the last rebuilt title GT3 RS that sold, which sold for 186. Now, granted, that was fire damage. That was the one that was the Road Scholars building fire. So that's a, you know, different type of damage, both a little bit risky, but the seller definitely hurt their own auction here, and there is a million reasons in here, including their German Shepherd, on why this car did not sell. But it's definitely a lesson in how not to do a Bring a Trailer auction.
Seriously. Ugh.
Unless, as somebody opined, you're trying to settle a divorce and you need to establish a very low market value for your car that you actually want to keep. Could be a valid strategy. Speaking of bidding on auctions and continuing the Bring a Trailer theme, I thought we'd do a lighthearted segment on the best excuses people leave to not bid on an auction, which is similar to, you know, car dealers or car salesmen, the excuses we hear. But when people actually put them in print to be immortalized and announce why they've chosen not to bid on a car instead of just quietly not bidding, we find it incredibly entertaining. So there's some themes that we see regularly, which is, you know, I tried to bid, but, you know, Bring a Trailer screwed me. It glitched out. The auction had already ended, which you have 2-minute clock that resets every time somebody bids. You shouldn't wait till the last 5 seconds and then claim that your computer glitched out or is Bring a Trailer's fault that you couldn't get a bid in. But I've seen that dozens of times.
I even have one in my list that is, I know, oh, beautiful car. I just noticed it probably 30 seconds too late. What do you mean? It was on the internet for 6 or 7 days. Come on.
That one blows my mind on a 7-day auction. It blows my mind more when we have a car listed on our dealer site and all the third party sites for like 4 months, 6 months, we finally sell it, and the next day someone's like, oh, hey, I just found this car. I've been looking forever.
I don't believe that.
Have you been looking forever?
No, they haven't, because let me tell you, I knew every single 996 GT3 that came up for sale because I was everywhere. If you really want it, you know. They didn't want it bad enough.
You know. All right. So these are actual quotes that we found in Bring a Trailer auctions of people announcing why they're not going to buy a car. One of the big themes is, of course, let me humble brag about my car. So I would buy this, but I bought one 8 months ago.
I have one from Cars and Bids on an old Fiat that says, well, I have a 76 183 P57 Multipla 59 Abarth and a 74X. Otherwise, I would be in.
Yes. Listing the whole collection. Mine seems lame now. A quote, I'd be buying if I didn't already have one. Thanks.
Like, cool, bro.
Here's another one. I'll give this one like 2 points for validity, but otherwise, no. I was going to bid, but so-and-so had been trying for an Esprit for a long time.
What? Why do you...
Are you that good friends with them? Or do you just want to say that you're not bidding?
I have one on an old Tacoma here that, you know, it was pretty low mileage, but it had been used. Somebody's like, if it wasn't for the paintwork and packed mud and off-roading, I would still be in. Great seller. It's a truck. What do you expect from a truck? They used the truck.
People announcing their exits on bids. One that I see very often is Well, if they didn't have the dock fee, I would bid.
Oh, how often do you get that?
Pretty often, but it's always the same people. And they're one of two categories. One, they never bid on anything, so you don't care. Or two, they only bid on private party listings. So they're the type that they're the Corvette curmudgeon. I'll never buy from a dealer. They're dock fees. Okay, just reduce your bid by the dock fee amount and call it a day. Nope, it's principled.
I also love the people that I have a couple of during the auction where they like ask for something for the seller to go through extra work and then don't follow up on it. Like the commenter doesn't. So somebody said, can you do a proper cold start video, please? And a driving video? Many thanks. I'm a buyer, but I need to know more. They never commented again and they never bid on the car, even after the seller uploaded that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My favorite one, and this is my last one. I couldn't quite believe this one as an excuse. This is a good one. I've heard, you know, I was on a plane. I got called into a meeting, whatever valid distraction, but I was getting my eyes dilated.
What? That's not, you know, the auction's happening, bro. Like, I don't understand.
They had been bidding actually too. And it was just like the last 5 minutes. So it's like, okay, well just throw a shutter down bid and then go get your eyes dilated.
I have one. Again, this was during the auction that I had to pick it. This is for some awesome green, like 2005 SEMA show car Mustang with like 7,000 miles. And it's got a custom stereo in it that during the driving video has a screen to enter the code. Somebody asked if the seller had the code for the radio, and they responded in a bizarre way that essentially meant yes. And the guy followed up with, makes no sense. You have not confirmed to have the code or that the radio functions. I'm out.
They're not going to bid based on a radio code
on a like highly customized SEMA show car. They're like, nope, radio doesn't work. I'm out.
I'm sure it doesn't work. It's a show car.
What do you expect? And they said the little waving emoji. I appreciated that the seller that said they responded quickly and said, you were never in. This would have been the most expensive car you put a bid on.
Oh, so they like good. Went to their profile and yes. called them out. I will do that every now and then, but I have to be careful because, of course, our username is Switch Cars, which is our brand. I can't be all like I'm a private party and just say what I want. But I've shut people down a few times with ridiculous questions or assumptions or assertions or whatever. So anyway, just like the forums, you don't need to announce your exit on an auction. Either bid or don't bid, or ask a question or don't ask a question. But yeah, nobody cares that you're not bidding on this Lamborghini because you have seven others and you enjoy them so much. Just, yeah, nobody cares. Well, you might get three likes on your comment. So I guess three people care, but you don't even know who they are.
The
so.
Dopamine duck.
The dopamine of people you've never met and don't know who they are. Yes.
Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, and consign only cars that we like ourselves. Check out our handpicked inventory online at switchcars.com and mention Switchcast for special pricing. You can find more information online at switchcars.com or come visit our showroom in beautiful Twinsburg, Ohio, where you can experience the Switch Cars difference.
There's been a lot of physical auctions lately. Well, not a lot. It's not January in Scottsdale or February. No, when is Meekum Kissimmee? Whatever the Florida
auctions are.
Oh, it's
in like April or
something,
isn't it?
That might also be January.
All right, maybe.
It's not August in Monterey, but we had a couple recent Broad Arrow auctions, one in Las Vegas and one in Zurich, and I thought it was a good time for an update on auction results, what we can learn from the market based on those, and what we can learn in general about the strategies of selling via auction based on some of these auction results. So we're going to unpack them, reverse engineer them, and see what we can learn. So the Broad Arrow auction in Las Vegas, particularly for the in conjunction with the Las Vegas Concours, they published an 82% sell-through rate. We used the Hammer Price app to get the most up-to-date results, although that app failed us on the sell-through rate because they essentially listed all the cars as sold, even if it was a high bid reserve not met. So if you looked at the app, it looked like it was 100% sell through rate minus one car. But then you went on Broad Arrow's site and they showed the cars still for sale. So we had to kind of figure out which ones didn't actually sell.
Do you have like a context or an idea? Is 82% normal? Is that low? Is that
82% high? Is normal for a physical auction. That's higher than most of the online auctions get. We did unpack this earlier this year, and I think Bring a Trailer's around the 75% mark.
Oh, that's right, because we pulled all that data
right,
from all
and
the
I think Cars and Bids was around 72%, if memory's serving me correctly. But we typically see above 80% for the physical auctions. And of course, Barrett-Jackson is all no reserve, so it's going to be 100%. But does a high sell-through rate mean it's a good thing for the sellers?
Well, Doug.
Let's start with
for
the big
about 5 seconds.
Money. Start with the big money. The Veyron market is back up with one leading the Las Vegas auction, hammered at $2 million. And, of course, it was surrounded by the largest gathering, I believe, of Veyrons ever for the Concours event. So that probably fed the hype there. Similar cars were selling 1.5, 1.7 recently. So that's an uptick there.
Okay. And the 300 SL that was auctioned there also went like pretty.
The Roadster?
Yeah.
It went for gullwing money.
It was spicy.
Yes. I think it was 1.8. But apart from the big numbers that we see, the average car that sells, is it a benefit to sell it at a big time auction or an online auction like Bring a Trailer, Cars and Bids? So let's look at a few examples. One, BMW Z8 Topaz Blue over Crema, which I took particular interest in because I've been looking for one. 28,000 miles, bid to $240,000. Now that compared to an almost identical car, same spec, same mileage, that sold for $251,000 on Cars and Bids just a few months ago.
Ooh.
And if you're on Cars and Bids, the seller would have net $251,000 versus the $240,000, if it had sold there, the seller would have net $210,000-ish.
Whoa, gosh, right. What a hit.
Right. Let's see. This is a great example. A 2006 Gallardo with 6,700 miles. It hit that exact car bid to $96,500 earlier this year on Bring a Trailer. And I believe it was the same dealer that ran it on Bring a Trailer that also sold it at Broad Arrow. So you'd think if it sold at Broad Arrow, it would go for more, right?
Oh, you would
if
think.
They didn't take 96.5.
Yeah.
No, it sold for 92.5 at Broad Arrow, which if you take the seller fee out of it, that is $82,500, a $14,000 hit from reserve not met on Bring a Trailer. I think they should have taken that number. Plus, they had to ship it out to the auction. An online auction comes to you. The epic fail, or we'll say the epic fail on the estimating side, there was a 1953 Hanson Cobra Motorama, which if you don't know what that is, I didn't before I saw this one either. I do now, of course. the estimate was $150,000 to $200,000. It sold for...
Oh,
40.
What? Oh, ooh, I have one almost as good.
Yeah.
There is a 1964 and a half Ford Mustang GT350 CR continuation retractable prototype. I didn't know what the heck this was. It's essentially somebody that got Carroll Shelby's blessing to make this recreation resto mod thing. Estimated 100 to 150, sold for 25.
You didn't let me guess.
Oh, sorry.
I was going 22 right there.
Oh, golly. It's not.
You can get Carroll Shelby. You could have gotten Carroll Shelby's blessing on a lot of things. Yeah.
What I will say, though, is after looking at all these results, I paid attention to the estimates and what things sold for. And I noticed that all the blue chip stuff that we had talked about, the Veyrons, the 300 SLs, all that was like gangbusters.
And a Corvette C5.
Well, we'll get there, Doug. We'll get there. I was ahead of the curve, is all I'm going to say. All of the other stuff is below estimate, even if it's sold. And sometimes significantly. Your 911s, your M3s, your Dodge Vipers, all of the more typical attainable enthusiast stuff, down.
And not to skip to the conclusion, but we'll give you the conclusion now so you don't have to listen to the rest if you don't want to. But that's what we tend to see. The really excellent blue chip stuff, or the stuff that you're on the leading edge of a market rising, can do very well at those auctions. Especially since you remove kind of the commenters that say, well, I could have bought one for this, I could have bought one for that. Here's a, you know, this card just sold. You know, you remove all of that kind of negative transparency in a sense.
When you throw in a couple of $30 martinis. Exactly. And my God.
And sellers can do very well. But for the 80% in between, the box and whisker plot cards, the ones that fall, yes. The non-outliers, I just don't understand the model. You're always better served to go to an online auction, because even if it doesn't go as well, it has to go 25% less well to make up for all the fees.
Yes. The fees are intense, and it's why these auction companies can stay in business when they're taken from both ends of the deal. You know, they're making out well. The house always wins.
Yes.
I will say, even looking at the Zurich cars, it's the same stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly forgot I was looking at an auction in a European market until I saw like a 911 GT3 Club Sport, and I was like, What the heck? Oh, that's right.
And we learned something else from that auction as well that we've talked about. And that's that the Europe to US arbitrage is essentially all but over. Prices are really strong there. The exchange rate sucks. It's up. It's 1.1615-ish now, Euro to US, and it was 1.1 last year. The tariffs add insult to injury. And side note, it's ridiculous that they apply to classic cars, but they do. So a 91 Diablo is 600 miles, sold for $435, the US equivalent over there. A 94 XJ220 with 200 miles, silver over gray, sold for $485 US equivalent. So that's close to $600K by the time you get it here, which is top of market. But then the seller is only netting like $400.
Yep. Taking a bath.
Yeah, I've been eyeing a green on tan XJ220 in Europe. And it's a nice price. It's 350 euro. But by the time I get it here with everything added on, it's 500 grand. And I'm just like,
insanity.
It's
so much.
Yeah.
And I don't know why on used cars. I don't get it. I don't.
A year ago, if I bought it for 350 euro, I'd be in at 400 delivered.
Yeah.
And it's changed dramatically.
It's insanity.
So to go back on the point that I just made, though, there's a couple cars. Normal cars that sold really well at this auction.
There are.
So we have to give credit where credit is due. 91 NSX with 7,700 miles, red on black, 137.5 hammer, which well exceeded recent transactions on all the internet sites. And but again, that's what you have to do to net proper. So the seller nets a little bit above 122 grand, which is a fantastic net for the seller.
There was a 98 pace car, Doug, that sold hammered at 45.
5,000 miles. That was a very, very good result for that seller.
Now, this is probably an outlier car. It was owned by Team Scandia since like the 98 Indy race. They bought it from the Indy Motor Speedway. It was driven by Parnelli Jones. It had all of the things that you want on
all
a pace car.
All the things.
So that means mine must have been worth 35, and I've been had.
Right. But lest I knock the physical auctions too much, there is a component of them that really is cool that cannot be replicated by the online auctions. The online auctions are generally better for sellers, but the physical auctions create a buyer experience that is unmatched. It is a lot of fun. Sometimes expensive, but worth it, and a lot of fun to go to these auctions because the culture, the buzz, you know, just the atmosphere that surrounds the excitement of the cars being on display. You see them in person, so it's like going to an exotic car show. And then, you know, even getting a bidder pass, even if you are, you know, a bottom feeder and can only place the opening bid, is so much fun to be a part of that, to see the numbers physically transacting, to get expensive cocktails and to sit in the room while people are spending millions of dollars. It can't be replicated online. And actually buying a car there is a whole nother rush that is, again, not able to be replicated. So I think they will always have their place in that regard because it really is a pretty special experience. Let's switch over to some recent crazy online auction results as well, because those merit talking about. A green Diablo 6.0 Verde Hydra recently set a record on Bring a Trailer. It was not low miles. It was around 19,000 miles. Sold on Bring a Trailer for 890 grand.
Whoa.
And the seller nets, you got it, 890 grand.
Oh, that math is easy.
That math is real easy. Well, I mean, minus the prep costs, because they used Motive Archive to, you know, photograph the car and video it, and they did an amazing job. But, you know, what do they charge? Maybe 5%, I would guess, to prep all that, or maybe a fixed fee, but on 890 grand versus 10% each way to a physical auction house. That's a big result. That's a new market setting for either green cars or Diablo 6.0s. I'm not sure which was a bigger driver of that.
Green is so hot right now, Doug. It's so hot.
Really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because 10 sucks. Years ago, that just would have been a green Diablo.
Well, I've talked to you and John Sable a lot, and it, you know, 10, 15 years ago, like Aventurine, the color of my 968 that I loved, was kind of a kiss of death for a car. Nobody wanted it. Nobody cared.
Mm-hmm. And then we had a 2011 GT3 RS in gray black that went reserve not met for 512 grand on Bring a Trailer. Ah. It only had 1,600 miles.
Ooh.
But to me, that result is asinine. That car was shopped around forever in the low fours last year, and nobody found a home for it. And it just kind of went to one dealer, price went up, another dealer, price went up more, another dealer, price went up more, which seems to be happening a lot in a bunch of different markets lately. And you wonder, the bidding, the bidders all look legitimate and the bids look legit, but you wonder and go, one, why did BAT take a reserve higher than that when the market doesn't support that? And two, what's really going on that the seller didn't take 512? Because that's more than anyone's been willing to pay in the last year for a gray car with red graphics. So I don't know. Maybe shenanigans. Maybe I'm just behind on the market.
Yeah.
But the one I want to highlight, do you have ones you want to highlight before?
No.
Okay.
This is, honestly, the Corvette pace car. That was just,
yes, I know. Woo-hoo! I know. The one I wanted to highlight because it's cool and not super appreciated and it's not caught up in all this speculation is a midnight blue 986.2 Boxster with a 3.6 swap.
Oh,
that sold on P car markets. One of the coolest things I've seen in a while. It had the proper wheels, proper stance, good color. It was a set of sport seats away from the perfect spec 987. It sold for like 26 grand.
Such
an S too.
It looks so good. The wheels are fantastic. The color's amazing. It has a full leather center console, which I adore. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And honestly, I have not been a fan of the recent trend of taking 991 wheels and putting them on older cars. Because I think the steering wheel looks a little too modern.
Steering
Sorry,
wheel. I was like, they put 20s on a Boxster. No.
The steering wheel. But I think they used a very like base model. I don't know what the wheel came from, but it actually kind of works in this car.
It does.
It looks really good.
It does. Everything about it was good.
The
just needed better
gauges.
Seats.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So props to a overlooked, not publicized auction result. Whoever got that is going to have a barrel of fun for less than 30 grand. That brings us to our ever popular plate two sample game brought to us by SolonSpine.com. Go see Dr. Hoover over at Solon Spine. Even if you're not from Ohio, it is worth the trip to get fixed properly. I know people that ship their cars across country to have them worked on. Why not your body. It is far more important than your car.
Well, no, it isn't.
So the name of the game is we read off a vanity plate and the other person has to guess not what it means, because they're usually patently obvious, but what it means about the owner. What car do they drive based on what they have chosen to advertise about their personalities on their plate? And before we get into that game, speaking of plates, we do have a gift from Ed Krakowiak, who sent us this sign for our plate to sample thing. Tyler, you have a gift.
Ooh, I have a gift.
It actually has nothing to do with plates, but he did ask for a plate in return that we signed, but he sent you a hand-burned coaster with 997 GT3 on it, just like yours.
Thank you so much. I love it.
Yep.
And they've got my name.
It's got your name on it.
Amazing.
And then he also complained that if you buy a McLaren from McLaren Chicago, you get this dinky little plastic plate insert. So he asked for us to send one of our nice metal ones made for us by Celebrity Machines back, and we'll have the podcast crew sign it. So we're going to do that Ed. You can buy your own on nutsforsticks.com. All right, how many companies can we push right here in the middle of the segment? First plate for you to guess.
Yes, I'm ready.
Are you ready? Okay. Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Are you ready?
One of these in HEIC, and so it's not in... Wait, yes, it is. Okay, sorry. Just kidding.
Ethan's going to be so mad.
Is from Brandon S.
Hopefully not.
Regular listener. Big time collector.
Nice.
175PT885.
Oh.
175.885. I'll help you out there.
That's got to be like a top speed of the car. Yes, maybe. I don't know what... what goes 175? Is this like a... Is it a BMW of some sort?
Do you know this? Does this number ring a bell?
The specific number, no, but I think I know where this is going.
Well, quickly, where is it going?
It's a frequency, isn't it?
No.
Nope.
175.885 is the average 24-hour speed of the Corvette C4 ZR1.
Oh.
Yes, when it broke the record for the most distance traveled in 24 hours. That was its average speed, 175.885. So it is on his Corvette C4 ZR1. Suggestion by me. Thank you very much. If you all want more great plate suggestions, let me know.
First one for you, Doug. Line them up. LINEEMUP.
Nissan R35 GTR.
No, but I see where you're going with that.
Street racing, something Corvette C7 Z06.
It is a Dodge Charger.
All right.
EV. Nah. don't worry, Doug. Don't worry, Doug. The plate frame says, "I'm Italian. Meet my balls."
Okay, moving on. This one from Ryan on Instagram, Oklahoma plate. Bah hum. That's how I feel about your joke.
It's not my joke. It's the plate frame.
What?
It's a Volkswagen Bug.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Nice. Bah humbug, for those of you not paying attention.
Thank you, Michael M., for the meatballs previously. But next up for you is NASDAQ, the stock exchange, NASDAQ.
Mercedes.
No, right.
Audi.
Yeah. Who?
A8L.
It's an A7. Very close, though. But it's
right,
it looks
track.
Like a base A7. And it's in the left lane, tailgating a minivan. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matthew S.
Yeah. All right. From Family Cruising on Instagram, SEC8.
SEC. Section. Anything I guess is going to be offensive. Altima.
No.
It's not an Altima.
No.
Is it a Ford Explorer from the mid-2000s.
No.
I give up guessing.
Other end of the spectrum. What? It is a brand new, fully blacked out Cadillac Escalade.
Oh, that's never would have guessed.
I think they're bragging that they're a slumlord.
My goodness. Next up for you, Doug. This comes from Adam W. 8-Ball.
It's either Coke or a Magic 8-Ball.
The second one.
Magic 8-Ball. Magic 8-Ball. Is it like a V8?
No.
What am I missing?
It's a black new Beetle. It's round. Oh. It's shaped like a ball. It's a bit of a stretch, but I liked it. It was kind of cute.
I get that. Does it have like a panoramic roof where it projects answers? Okay. This one from downloading.
Mountain
Gearhead on Instagram. Van Diesel, DZL. Van Diesel.
Like a Honda Odyssey?
Nope.
Whatever the heck he drove in, like the babysitter or whatever. I don't know. Chrysler Town and Country?
No.
What is it?
Van Diesel.
Van.
It's a Sprinter. Diesel. Yeah.
Okay. I was stuck on the wrong part of that.
There you go. But if it was a Porsche van, it would be one with DZL contrast graphics custom ordered from Porsche. You
100%.
Know, if you want to get
your deviated
deviated septum.
Next up for you, Doug, comes from Brian M. NB Yond. Yond. NB Yond.
It's an Infiniti.
Yes, it is. Nice. Good job. Doesn't matter what kind of Infiniti. QX80, who knows what that is. but it's a good plate.
Yes. Okay, last one for you. IH82W8. I hate to wait. This is from Tomboy on Instagram.
That's a BMW.
No.
A Camaro.
This is his plate, by the way. We had number submissions this week for people that they submitted their really? Plates. Section 8 was not one of them.
Yikes. It's a Charger.
No.
A Corvette. You're
close with a Charger. That is the closest you have been and are going to get.
Okay. Then what?
It's a 1984 Dodge Colt Turbo.
Oh my goodness. What a deep
Dan
cut.
Dan approves.
What a deep cut. All right, Doug, last plate for you. It's just Yo with 5 O's.
I don't know.
It's an old Toyota pickup truck. You know, they would like Toyota. Take the Yoda. Yeah.
Mm.
Doug's not impressed. Mm. Sorry, Brian M.
Not way impressed. To end on a high note.
Look, I don't need to take this.
Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.